You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get right down to the all-star panel of guests that are going to be coming your way over the course of the next 2 hours. Kicking things off for this quartet will be Lauren Witzke, our good friend, the former nominee for United States Senate out of Delaware on the Republican ticket back a couple of years ago. Every time I have asked Lauren to be on this program, she has been in the middle of something. She's never just been sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. She's been driving through tunnels. She's been at conferences. Tonight, she's actually at a bridal party. I told her we could punt, and she said, I can do it. So she stepped away. We're going to go right to her, and
the floor is yours.
Here she is now. Lauren, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Yeah, James, thanks so much for having me back. It's always, you guys are my favorite. I love what you guys are doing. And, you know, I appreciate you asking me to come on anytime. You know, I know you brought me on to talk about the elections, and wow, unbelievable what just happened. You know, the GOP had 2 years to get election integrity right. I think they let it slide in 2020 because everybody wanted Trump out. The GOP and the Democrats wanted Trump out. So they let that stolen election slide, but, you know, they had 2 years to fix it, and nobody fixed it. And here we are yet again. They are blatantly stealing elections out in Arizona.
So, in other words, mark you in the box of people that believe this was another stolen election.
This was something that Keith Alexander was heavy on in the first hour. And just the fact that it came back down to these two swing states again, who still can't get it put together. Florida, we were talking about this, third most populous state. They got them all in 2 hours and had, 99% reporting. And here we go again. And it looks like it's going to go the wrong way. These mail-in ballots.
When all is said and done, more will be said than done.
So that, Lauren, to you was the biggest takeaway from any angle we could have explored with regards to what happened and the different players and the different ramifications. Do you think this is the one key thing people should be tuned into?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Katie Hobbs was in charge of the elections in Arizona. You know, why are we going to trust her with elections? You know, it's just remarkable to me. Not to mention the fact that the GOP was pulling money from Senate candidates. They pulled it from Blake Masters. They gave it to Lisa Murkowski. You know, the GOP did a great job of keeping the America First candidates out of the primaries. And the ones who made it past that point are, you know, they made it past the primaries. They, you know, sabotaged them. They took the money. You know, it's like the GOP is doing everything they can to keep Trumpism out. That is why they don't care that our elections are a mess. Since when did it become normal to wait a week or weeks to receive the election results? It used to be, you know, you have election day and you find out the results that night. They used to do it, I mean, years and years. You know, this wasn't something that was unusual. You know, they flooded the mail-in ballots in 2020. They utilized an opportunity to completely change our election system. And they have no interest in changing it back because they are able to manipulate our government with it. They are allowed to select who, if they don't have enough votes, hey, they have 2 weeks to find them because it's not required for us to have
or
election
manufacture
results
them
on election.
Find them or manufacture them. Well, Tucker Carlson was saying, and we mentioned this in the first hour, 50,000 mail-in drop box ballot votes were found the day after the election. Well, here they come to get counted with. That was in Nevada, I believe.
Well, it's a takeaway from that, Lauren, that basically if you live in a blue or a purple state, forget about making any change in your leadership. You know, that in Pennsylvania, they'll elect a human vegetable over a Republican. So,
yeah. So, well, okay, here's the question, I guess. What now? I mean, it looks like you're going to have a split Congress, knock on wood, Republicans in the House.
In fact, this is the least that an out-of-power party has gotten in the midterm election, as far as I can remember. You know, rather than having a red wave or a red tidal wave, we barely had a red whip.
Well, she both have said that it could be a result of fraud. But in any event, Lauren, what happens next? What should the Republicans be doing, assuming they take the House? What kind of leadership should they install? And how empowered will Marjorie Taylor Greene be with this razor-thin
majority? What can they do about the elections?
A lot of questions.
Right. Well, you know, right now McCarthy has his eyes set on that House Speaker position. And, you know, I'm hearing rumors that there is actually really legitimate rumors that there is a movement right now to install President Trump as the House Speaker. You know, somebody who is going to take election integrity seriously, who is going to take the America First agenda seriously. People are hungry for it. People are sick and tired. You know, even though we may have won the House, it was still a giant loss because it was supposed to be a bloodbath. It was supposed to be a bloodbath. But because of the intentional sabotage within our own party, we did not get what we wanted. And, you know, it should have been that midterm elections with a Democrat president who is polling at a 75% disapproval rating. You know, it should have been a red tsunami. Mm-hmm. However, due to the GOP's neglect, due to their incompetency, we barely got through. We lost the Senate, and we lost some really good candidates. And we lost, it's not looking good for Carrie Lake for governor. It's not looking like it's that good, but she was polling, you know, 10 points ahead of Katie Hobbs originally. Like, it's unheard of, but it's because the GOP never addressed election integrity. They want to, just keep the status quo. McConnell leading the Senate, McCarthy right behind him. And, you know, it's just a disgrace. The GOP has become a disgrace. It's become an unrecognizable party. They are too busy chasing down LGBTQ influencers, and they are taking our election seriously, fighting for conservative values. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make trans rights a GOP platform issue. They've been trying to get
sounds
rid
like
of
the Southern Baptist
campaign.
Convention.
Yeah, exactly. It's unheard of. And it's like, what party am I supposed to join if my, like, both parties, you know, it's like my party is leaving me. They're going a direction that I, as a Christian, cannot go. And I know
it's what George Wallace said. The difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is the difference between Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Well, you brought up something, Lauren, that was important, and we didn't mention this in the first hour. You're right. We talked about the fact that it was $80 million to $12 million with regards to the amount of fundraising going on between Mark Kelly and Blake Masters, but that Mitch McConnell pulled funding from that race, a race that could have easily been won. Perhaps it was won. We won't know. But they still, to pull funding from that race where you're highly competitive, I mean, it just... That's unbelievable. So what now? What now? What next for the GOP? What about Trump versus DeSantis? I mean, where do you stand on that partition?
Right. Listen, here's the thing. Trump is the one that drug DeSantis off the finish line, across the finish line. He wouldn't have that position without him. DeSantis has been colluding with Kevin McCarthy to oust Trump. I do not like backstabbing. I do not like people that turn on the people that were there for you when you needed it the most. I am somebody who I'm loyal. Now, if there was a man who helped me get in office and I owed my position to him, I would never try to usurp him or undermine him. Now, Trump has, you know, he has done some things, you know, that has made us, you know, step back and be like, wow, like, I, you know, pushing the vaccine. You know, that's something that I wish he didn't do.
Appointing Mark Milley.
Trump.
He made a mistake, sure.
I'm sorry?
No, he was appointing Mark Milley, the head of the armed forces.
Trump made mistakes. The pros and cons could be debated forever, but the fact that this radicalization, in the best sense of the word, of the Republican base, that doesn't happen without Trump. And I'm with you, Lauren. If between the two, I would rather Trump be the nominee. I think it's better for us as a people. I think we need this political stress level to be raised. Well, a lot of reasons, which I wish we had the time to go into with you tonight. Next time we have you on, we'll try to call you on a night where you're not previously engaged. But thanks for stepping away from that party to be with us tonight. We will talk again very soon. We really appreciate it, Lauren.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Greg Johnson, the editor-in-chief of CounterCurrents, counter-currents.com, was not originally booked to be on the program tonight. In fact, I never know where in the world Greg will be, but it just so happened that this morning I came across an article captures my take on this and was so good. I think it is the quintessential take. It is the best take I have read in all of the post-election reaction articles and commentaries that I've come across. And so I emailed Greg on a whim, and it just so happened that he took the time, like Lauren Witzke a moment ago, to carve out a few minutes for us, and so we're going to get right to him. Again, Greg Johnson of CounterCurrents is with us to talk about his article, Why White Nationalists Don't Want a Red Wave. So when analyzing and looking at it from the lens of what is best for our people, Greg, why was the election result that we got last Tuesday perhaps in the best interest of our people, not the Republican Party, but our people? Take it away, and thanks for being with us again.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very flattered that you like the piece. I wrote it because I wasn't all that disappointed in the outcome of the election. The big disappointment for me was when I woke up today and found out that Blake Masters has had the race called against him in Arizona. I thought he was good. I was happy about J.D. Vance. I was happy about Ron DeSantis. I'm pulling for Joe Kent. Why? Because all of these candidates were saying things that I think were good for white Americans. We want people to talk about white interests and white identity stand up against some of the worst trends that are undermining white life in America, canceling our future. That's what I care about. I want to uphold white standards in all realms of culture and politics, and I want something done about white demographic decline. And any candidate who stands up for immigration restrictions is a good candidate, in my view. People who stand against wokeness and all that stuff are also very, very good. People like Blake Masters and J.D. Vance did that. They talked about the white working class. They stood up against anti-whiteness. I thought that was very important when Blake Masters characterized wokeness as anti-white racism. These are advances. But most of the other Republicans weren't doing anything like this. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if they lost. What the Republican Party was counting on was backlash politics. They were thinking that just because Joe Biden is really, really weak and his administration has been chaotic and harmful to America, that a pure backlash would put them in office and in control of things, even though they weren't going to offer anybody or anything worth voting for. So they put up a lot of these bland centrist candidates. A lot of them were diversity candidates, non-whites, women, et cetera. And they didn't stand for anything particularly exciting, certainly nothing that advances white interests in America. And as far as I'm concerned, they deserve to lose. And so the net result of this election is going to be pretty much the same. The two parties are going to be pretty much equally balanced in the Congress. There's going to be partisan gridlock. There's going to be frustration and anger. And frankly, I want white Americans who voted for Donald Trump in the tens of millions to be frustrated, angry, and afraid, rather than go back to sleep thinking that these horribly traitorous Republicans are actually looking out for their interests. But you know very well that a lot of our people, good people in America, would just feel, okay, well, the Republicans are charged, we can go back to sleep now, we can start grilling again. And that's just not that's not the message we want, because the Republicans are as bad as the Democrats in many ways, especially on the essential issue for white nationalists, which is the Great Replacement. The Republican Party fought tooth and nail against a wall when Trump was in office. These people are bad, and it would actually be worse, in my opinion, to have a stable, patriotic, economically sound, civic nationalist multiculturalism in America. That would be worse, because it would be more stable than the kind of crazed instability that we're getting with the left in charge. So I don't want the Republicans to make multiculturalism work for a few more generations until white people are basically bred out of existence. That would be a worst case scenario. I'm not a person who says everything that's bad is good for us. Obviously, when candidates stand up for good things and propose good policies, we should say, yes, this is a victory for us. We don't win by losing all the time, which is what the accelerationists want to believe. We win by winning. But we're not winning anything with most of these Republicans. And therefore, as far as I'm concerned, they deserve to lose, and I'm not shedding a single tear about them.
I'm tossing it to you, Keith, but I just got to say, I don't know what more we can add throughout the rest of the program that is going to bring my thoughts on the election to a summation better than what we just heard from Greg. That is a spot-on take as far as I'm concerned. Keith?
I think we're very similar in our outlooks, but I'm looking at it through the other end of the telescope, so let me make a modest proposal. My problem with the election is that it has demoralized whites, and it has encouraged their enemies. They think that they're, you know, Joe Biden said, I'm not backing off one iota from my climate change agenda or any part of my agenda. I don't want our people to feel impotent rage. That's what leads to things like Dylann Roof and whatnot. I want there to be a secession. I want red state, blue state America, however you carve it, to be separate. And I don't think that's ever going to happen unless secession is the idea of the left. And if they feel uncomfortable enough with the direction of the country and its politics, they're liable to embrace secession. What do you say to that?
Well, I agree with you in theory before we toss it back to Greg. I agree with you in theory, Keith, except for the fact that I think that had the Republicans won by a larger margin, it would have been far more likely that
the normie cons would have co-opted it.
If the Republicans had won by a larger margin, as Greg mentioned, it was far more likely that most of our people who fundamentally share our concerns would have gone back to some sort of a stupor, as opposed to the left would have, you know, started advocating for their own secession. Greg?
Yeah, I think blue state secession is the key. I think if red states tried to secede after a frustrating election, the blue state people would be screaming for nuclear war. But if they decide to take their toys and go home, it'll be completely different, right? And my dream is CalExit. I would love California to leave. California has, 54 electoral votes that are always going to be blue for the rest of my life and your life.
There's a planet Earth.
yeah, exactly. California has tens of millions of non-whites and off-whites and utterly insane leftists.
And crazy white people.
Yeah, crazy white people.
Not to mention the white traitors, yeah.
Yeah, and if these people are out of they're out of the union and unable to influence presidential elections, that's going to give people like us decades more time to turn the rest of the country around. I would love to see something like that happen. And I frankly think that if I had tens of millions of dollars and I wanted to create more nationalist, more populist policies, I would start putting a lot of money in the CalExit. But of course, that would really depend on the Democrats being disappointed in the next presidential election. I hope they are. I hope they're very disappointed. I hope that we have a Republican who comes in, as long as he's a good Republican. And I'm frankly hoping that it won't be Donald Trump. I would rather it be somebody like DeSantis.
Well, it needs to be somebody that really stirs them up in the wrong kind of way for them.
Well, I mean, Trump really stirs them up, but he doesn't. He's got a proven record of not advancing the policy ball, and that's what we need.
Well, okay, here's the hypothetical situation. The hypothetical question then would be, Greg, is it possible that Trump learned a lesson his first go around? Because I don't think anybody gets under their skin. Anybody makes them more susceptible to making mistakes. I think DeSantis, I like DeSantis, but I think he would usher us back to a Republican versus Democrat type of thing when we need to be thinking about something more. What I like about Trump is that he is still the guy that really isn't controlled. I mean, he isn't even under his own control.
Yeah, right.
But I think he would be the guy that would cause them to make more mistakes than a guy like DeSantis would. There are some good things about DeSantis.
They would go sideways with Trump.
More likely.
Yeah, well, I just think that Trump doesn't learn. It's an overused criticism that to say he's narcissistic, but it is true. And what's pathological? I mean, first of all, everybody's got narcissism. It's not a bad thing. It's pathological, though, when it prevents you from being able to grow. A pathological narcissist is not willing to let go of his self-image or let his be challenged by any error.
We'll be right back. Right back with Dr. Greg Johnson. Stay tuned, everybody.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. An air show tragedy in Dallas, Texas on Saturday. Two historic military planes collided and crashed, sending debris to the ground, shutting down a local roadway. Officials say they will not confirm the death toll until federal investigators clear the scene. Hank Coates, the CEO of the privately operated commemorative Air Force that organizes the show, says there were up to five crew members on the B-17 and one pilot aboard the P-63 aircraft that collided.
This is not their first rodeo. These guys are very well versed. They spend their summer times. Many of them are airline pilots, retired military pilots like myself.
The FAA, National Transportation Safety Board, are launching investigations. A Midwest company is using child labor.
Officials are investigating a major sanitation company after finding children working dangerous shifts at food processing plants in Minnesota and Nebraska. The U.S. Department of Labor issued a temporary restraining order and injunction against Packer Sanitation Services, claiming the company hired at least 31 children as young as 13 years old. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
In Arizona, the county sheriff says a mostly peaceful protest took place Saturday outside the Maricopa County Elections Office. Tensions are running high in the state as ballot counting continues Saturday night. Maricopa County Board of Supervisors Bill Gates is dismissing rumors that the process is being manipulated to focus on votes from certain areas, as he says people have falsely claimed.
If unfair allegations are being made, I'm going to respond to those because we don't want that misinformation out there.
Negotiators at the COP27 UN Climate Conference in Egypt are working hard to draft deals on a wide range of issues to curb greenhouse gas emissions and help poorer countries deal with global warming. This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Back with the editor-in-chief of counter-currents.com, one of the absolute very best content producers for our people. It's Greg Johnson, of course. Be of good cheer, ladies and gentlemen. He is explaining to us why we got a favorable election outcome, believe it or not.
Don't worry, be happy.
You can read this article. I think it is the one take that you should read above the others that I have read. Many of them good, but this one, I think, really captures my thinking on the situation, and we have it there for you at the top of my Twitter handle, at JamesEdwardsDPC. Of course, you can go to counter-currents.com as well. You've already heard from former Republican nominee for United States Senate, Lauren Witzke, this hour. Coming up in the next segment, Kevin McDonald. And both Greg and Kevin actually had the opportunity to break bread with both Greg and Kevin at a private event a couple of weeks ago. Anytime either of these guys, much less both of them, are on, it's a real honor for us. So, Greg, again, on short notice, thanks for coming on tonight. This is our post-election recap or fallout, depending on your perspective. Where should we be going now? Not the Republican Party. Where should our people, white people on this continent, be looking to be going? What should we be looking to do? What should we be doing, Greg, in light of these results and going forward to the next weeks, months, and couple of years?
Well, I think what's going on in America is there are two nations sharing one homeland. In fact, it's many nations.
That way for a long time.
Many nations that are arrayed in two opposed blocks sharing the same homeland and the same government. They're growing increasingly polarized, and they're slowly coming to the conclusion that the only long-term solution for this situation is either bloody violence or peaceful separation.
Most divorced people, we would rather have a no-fault divorce or an uncontested divorce.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's time to have a no-fault divorce and just say we are not compatible. We need to go our separate ways and create our own destinies for ourselves. We cannot be happy living together and trying to deal with one another on a regular basis. And that's just the truth. And the clearest sign that we are at that point is that both sides in this election believe that the other party, the other group, is too dangerous to be allowed to have power. That means that there is no such thing as an American people, because there's no such thing as a group of people who share enough unity that they are willing to trade power with one another according to an orderly constitutional mechanism. They think that that's just too dangerous to trade power. And therefore, we have to start thinking of going our separate ways. And the sooner we start thinking realistically about this, the better. That's the long-term outlook. And the wisest people in America need to focus on that. We need to focus on pathways to parting ways, pathways to secession. That's the only happy ending for this level of polarization and hatred and discontent. America is too diverse to be a nation anymore. That's largely the fault of the existing establishment. Democrats and Republicans have a lot of blame to go around on this. They don't represent the interests of the American people. We need to go our separate ways. That's the long-term message. That's what white nationalists need to prepare people for, is the idea of creating a white homeland in North America.
What can we do to hasten that reality? That's the thing. I mean, without doing things that are subversive and without doing things that are going to martyr our people and just put good men in jail, I mean, we're not talking about anything.
Or in the graveyard.
What can we practically be doing above and beyond creating parallel societies and waiting for the inevitable collapse of the system, which, by the weight of its own gravity, will collapse at some point? It doesn't need our help to push it over the ledge. But in the meantime, we have to exist. So how should we be existing?
Yeah, well, I have no doubt that this is an unworkable situation, and an unworkable situation can't go on forever. I think that, therefore, we need to ask ourselves, how can we become a movement and a community that can take power and take control of our own destiny when this current system collapses? That is what we need to be thinking about. The trouble with just waiting around for things to fall apart is that we're not in any position to pick up the pieces and go our separate way. And so we have to ask ourselves, what would it take for our people to be in a position to have our own homeland after this current multicultural mess collapses? We need to have our own leaders. We need to have solidarity with one another. We need to have a strong community, and that means not just sharing memes and ideas online and doing podcasts and writing articles. That means building actual communities of trust and accountability, building families, building businesses. And we're doing that, and we just need to do more of that. And one of the most harmful things towards those ends is just waiting around for something to happen, or saying, "Oh, it's all going to fall apart anyway. So why should I go to college?
Well, why
should
I
leave my parents' home?" You know.
Yeah, as the Southern Baptists would say, we're waiting for the rapture. Yeah, right. I don't think that's going to work, but I think you really hit the nail on the head, Greg. They're not interested in reaching any type of compromise. For example, when they brought in foreigners, non-whites, they never intended for them to assimilate. In fact, they wanted to replace the electorate, as Bertolt Brecht said,
yeah,
if you don't like the election results, replace the electorate. And they're not going to let us alone. That was the whole reason for the Civil War. Basically, the abolitionists and the Yankees could not give up the exquisite pleasure of bending us to their will. And that's the same animus that is being animating the left today. For example, they're not going to let us just live down here and ignore the federal government. What do you think all of these new IRS agents are about? They're going to be focused not only on white people, but on people in red state America.
You better get your affairs in order, Keith. Hey, Greg,
we've
got just 2 minutes remaining with you. The last word is yours, my friend.
Well, I'm fundamentally very hopeful. I think the best argument for peaceful separation is just looking at the left, looking at how crazed and implacable their enmity is towards normal white people, realizing that they're not going to leave us alone, and realizing that we will not have a future if we are locked in a country with these crazy people much longer. So the left is arguing our case for us very effectively. We just need to point a way to a better alternative, and I think that we are doing that. We're doing that right now, and we need more people doing that. And we need to become a people that's capable of standing on its own. We need to become a people that can get out of this toxic relationship and go our separate ways. And I think more and more of us are coming around, and we're a nation of tens of millions of white people is forming as we speak. And your show is one of the media for that newly emerging nation. And I'm always honored to be on. So thank you very much.
Always an honor to have you on, Greg. You're one of the best commentators we've got. You've got great takes on these issues. And
great content producer.
Absolutely, and have been doing it a long time. I mean, really the tip of the spear type stuff, as is our next guest, Kevin MacDonald. But, Greg, how can people find out more about your work and support your work? We mentioned the website, but by all means, mention it again.
Yeah, it's countercurrents.com. That's counter-currents.com. I'm on Twitter and Telegram and Gab. But my own platform is counter-currents.com. I urge you to go there. We have new material 5 days a week. We have many leading artists or articles, writers, people like Jim Goad are writing for us twice a week now. And if you haven't checked us out, I urge you to check us out, and I urge you bookmark it and come back every day, because there's always something new at Countercurrents. So thank you guys both very much. I really appreciate the chance to speak to you again.
Anytime we get the chance, it's always indeed our honor. And we thank you again, Greg, and we will talk again soon. Folks, be sure to check out this article, Why White Nationalists Don't Want a Red Wave, at counter-currents.com. Greg Johnson, editor-in-chief.
Greg is like the oracle at Delphi. Whenever we're confused, we seek him out.
Well, there was no mistake, and there was no coincidence that he was in the absolute dead center of this post-election show here in the absolute middle of the program. That's where I wanted to have him, and he was amenable to that, and we appreciate it. Greg, thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will have Dr. Kevin McDonald. I mean, one hit after another tonight. It's all the hits tonight, Keith. It's
all the hits all the time.
How about in 1 hour? You know, typically we do these, and
he's coming deservedly, after, Fast and Furious.
Deservingly so, and rightly so. Typically, when we have guests on, we have them on for a full hour. We like to do long, extended interviews. That's what we do on this program for the most part. Now, every now and then on an anniversary show or on a New Year's show or an end of the year show, we'll do one guest per segment. But, you know, Lauren Witzke, Greg Johnson, Kevin McDonald in 1 hour. I don't know anybody else giving you a show like that on AM Talk Radio. We'll be right back with Dr. McDonald next. Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Ladies and gentlemen, an embarrassment of riches this hour. Already this hour, you've heard from the former nominee for United States Senate, the Republican out of Delaware, Lauren Witzke, also Greg Johnson, editor-in-chief of Countercurrents, and now Dr. Kevin McDonald. Of course, listen, Kevin needs no introduction on this program. He's one of the top five guests in all-time appearances on this show, as we like to mention, and for good reason, the professor emeritus of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, a prolific author. I will share a very quick Kevin McDonald story. I'll share a quick behind-the-scenes Kevin McDonald story. Now, Kevin and I go way back, and we've been at so many different events together. But as I mentioned a moment ago, we were at a private event a couple of weeks ago together. And after the event, Kevin and I are going to the bar at this very nice place. And we're at the bar. And I step out to call my wife, and by the time I get back, Kevin is completely surrounded by all of these young guys. I mean, he's just the center of attention.
Rubies.
Yeah, I mean, he's just the star of the of the show.
Oh, yeah.
It was a wonderful night. Kevin really had a great time, and I actually got to regale these young guys, these fans of yours, about something, a little Kevin McDonald trivia that they didn't know. We were at this ritzy place, and they had a piano player, and I said, I'm going to tell you something you don't know, boys. Kevin McDonald is a prodigy on the piano. He is a classic.
Well, James is a tragedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know this, Kevin McDonald is not, he doesn't just play the piano. At one of the conferences we had, it was after hours, this was a few years ago, one of the political cesspool conferences, we had a piano in the room. And it was about an hour after the end of the session that night, and Kevin was on the piano. I couldn't believe it. I didn't even know he played.
He's a Liberace of our movement.
Oh, he is. Everybody really enjoyed that story. Anyway, Kevin, all of that. Hey, Kevin, it was great to see you a couple of weeks ago, man.
I really was.
It's always great to have you on.
Yeah, great seeing you.
And you want to talk about your piano playing abilities?
Or would you rather talk about the election?
I want to talk about this. Damn election.
All right, let's talk about it. So we had Greg Johnson on to talk about his article on Countercurrents. You, listen, people are taking it in different ways. Lauren Witzke was feisty. Greg Johnson actually was excited.
Don't worry, be happy.
Yeah, he thought it was in a good way for us. But you sort of, well, I get it. You wrote, well, the title says it all, a depressing election. Kevin, take all the time you need. We only got you for one segment tonight, so take it away.
Yeah, well, it was depressing to me simply because I figured everything was lined up for, you know, something of a white awakening. You know, you had rampant black crime, and a lot of this is featured on the conservative media. You had open border, people talking about the great replacement. Tucker Carlson talked about that. You had inflation. You had all these things. If ever there was an excuse to, you know, really look after your interests and, vote like a white person, this was it. I mean, in fact, about 58%. Of white people voted Republican, which is about normal. That's the way it's been. I figured it'd go way up, or at least somewhat, but it didn't. And so to me, it was depressing because I keep hoping for a great awakening. I know I may be silly, and I also understand. I wrote that, you know, the Republicans are not great. Obviously, they're, as I say, best a palliative. It makes the patient more comfortable to await certain death.
Lesser of two evils.
Yeah, the palliative thing is a good analogy.
The fact that so many white people are voting for Democrats, one of the stunning things from the CNN exit polls, they found that 83% of white evangelicals, and that's 33% of the white vote, they voted Republican. That's overwhelming. But the rest of them, 54 to 44 voted for the Democrats. That's 2/3 of the white vote are voting for Democrats at this late stage, when it's so obvious. I mean, if you and so much anti-white hate. I mean, that's not only a conservative.
Well, they're the enemy then, right?
Yeah. If you watch MSNBC, you'll see it. You know, and these black activists had no problems with that. And then you have affirmative action. And I keep thinking that these parents and grandparents are going to say, well, I've got this son, and he can't get into a decent college despite great grades. Or he finally got his degree, and then he can't get a job because they're hiring, everybody else in front of him. And, so I keep thinking there's going to be an awakening. And it doesn't happen. And so, I talk about the media. I think the media message, the media narrative, Fox is not great. They never talk about race very explicitly. Occasionally now, and I see that, they talk about the great replacement. They talk about white discrimination against whites to some extent. It's rare. But, I keep expecting that they're going to wake up. and they're going to really start seeing their interests. But so this meeting there just holds. And the media narrative is, you know, democracy, freedom, you know, LGBT.
More cowbell.
Yeah, and they accept it. And so you're talking about, you know, a substantial percentage of white people, even though in general whites did vote Republican, but as usual. And both sexes, men and women, there was a gender gap, but it was something like 53 to 46 or something like that for female whites. And
even the women. Now this is something that needs to be mentioned. The majority of whites did vote Republican. Obviously, the majority of white males, but even the majority of white females. The only demographic of white females that the Democrats captured were your cat lady people. It was the college educated and unmarried women. That's the only white demographic that they captured.
I remember reading that 51% of white women voted Republican, what meant 49% voted Democrat.
Well, I think it's better than that now. I think it's better than that now. But in any event, I mean, we're not voting as a block. It's not nearly the extent of the white vote that we should get, because the Democrats, of course, have the entirety of the coalition of the other, plus these white traitors. And that's the thing, Kevin. I mean, you got to look at it, though, as this, is that, it, you know, the two different nations voted in their interest. The red got redder, the blue got bluer. Florida went, you know, one of the reasons Florida went maroon was because so many people over the last 2 years have moved to Florida because of the COVID restrictions. So, you know, all of the people fleeing the blue state policies.
And the income taxes up in New York.
Well, all of that. And then so, you know, they're down in Florida now. But Florida is about the reddest state out there now. But in any event, I mean, whites aren't voting as a group block as much as the others are. And that is a problem. But that's the thing. I mean, you've got two different countries. And when you've got two different countries, this is what is to be expected. I mean, these whites are too far gone. I don't think there's any reclaiming them. I mean, if you're voting for, you know, child genital mutilation, if you're voting for critical race theory, if you're voting for war, nuclear war against Russia, if you're voting against all of these anti-white policies, there's just, you're them now. You're not us.
It's like Jim Jones and the People's Temple.
Right. I mean, you know, it's only 58%. It's actually a little more than that because that includes, you know, Arabs and Middle Easterners and Jews. Jews broke 66% according to Fox, and the 75% according to NBC, I think, in favor of Democrats, of course. So they don't vote like white people, and they don't identify as white people. Their big issue was abortion and all that. But it's sad because, you know, you think about it, even the Christian evangelicals who were very much, you know, enormously skewed towards Republicans, you know, they don't have a sense of race. They don't have a sense they're very pro-Israel, pro-Jewish and everything. So they're not really with us, you know, intellectually. And I don't know if we can trust them when push comes to shove, because I think it will come to shove at some point. But yeah, that's what's so disappointing to me. I see every election, I keep thinking, well, white people going to wake up? And a little bit more anyway. You know, we're going to get 65%, 70%. You know, is that too much to ask? You know, you routinely see that among Jews or blacks or Latinos that will vote very substantial percentages the same way. But not white people. Like herding cats, and they are so susceptible to this guilt message. You talk about the wine ladies. You know, these women are a big problem because they tend to evaluate things in terms of moral probity. Is it good morally? That's the big thing. They don't care about anything else. They don't care if it hurts
them. Well,
the
left knew exactly what it was doing, Kevin, when they made women's suffrage their first big project. They knew that by doing that, they would adulterate the common sense of the electorate by 50%.
Well, that's a key thing, too. I mean, really. I mean, we have enfranchised. We've given the franchise to too many people. If it was strictly a white male franchise, this country would look the same today as it did in 1776. It would.
Yeah, have you seen those maps? I mean, the whole country is red, practically, if only white men voted. It's just a completely different ballgame. But, you know, there are a lot of, you know, I don't want to disparage white women. A lot of them are great, and most of them are voting Republican now. But my God, there's just so many that are just tuned into this media narrative where it's all moral. Are you a decent person? Are you good? You know, if you are, that means you accept LGBTQ, you accept George Floyd, you accept everything.
That's right.
And
can't let the camel's nose in the tent, because let so much as a camel's nose in the tent, the next thing you know, the camel's moved into the tent and you've been moved out.
Well, no, Kevin's right. I mean, in order to be a proper member of functioning society, in order to be in with the in crowd, do you not have to accept today, Kevin, that is not in your best interest? Yeah. Nothing. I mean, it's just an incredible cornucopia of poison that you have to ingest in order to be.
But if you're the husband of a woman like that and you lose your job, they will divorce you in a thrice.
All right, yeah. Kevin, we got 20 seconds left. Final word is yours. Please do go to theoccidentalobserver.net, folks. Kevin, 15 seconds. Go.
Well, I used to say that, you know, these white women with children voting, you know, for the party that is into critical race theory and this gender insanity where their kids are getting programmed for transsexuals and everything. And they're gonna, the kids are going to be discriminated against. When are they going to wake up?
We'll be waiting. In the meantime, go to theoccidentalobserver.net. Kevin McDonald, truly a hero for our people. Thank you, Kevin. We'll talk again soon.